With this broadcast, we begin a series of messages going in depth into that blessed hope, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ at the close of this dispensation of grace to take his own to be with him before he deals with this world in judgment. Now, a rich harvest of blessing was reaped for the church in those years before and after the turn of the century, when the great truth of our Lord's coming for his church was recovered by men of God, and the expectancy of his appearing became once more the blessed hope to multitudes of believers. But here, though, is where it is so important to obey God's command to rightly divide the word of truth. For there was a flaw in many of the arguments for the imminent rapture of the church. Most people, most Christian leaders at that time, taught this truth, but failed to see clearly that as part of the great divine secret revealed to Paul, it is exclusively the hope of the body of Christ, the church of this present dispensation. Soon enough, the old error of confusing prophecy with the mystery, confusing Paul's letters with the Gospels, let's say, confusing his revelation with the writings of others in the Word of God and not seeing its distinctiveness, this old error began to do its work, so that today increasing numbers Christians are asking whether it is quite certain after all that we will be caught up to be with Christ before the prophesied tribulation and the outpouring of God's wrath upon this world. As the atom bomb, the hydrogen bomb, the nitrogen bomb, and so on, were added to the long list of weapons of destruction with which the nations threatened each other, one premillenarian leader after another began wondering, will the Lord come for us after all before the tribulation breaks? And not standing squarely on Pauline ground, confusing what Paul says about the coming of Christ for us with what, for example, Matthew says about his return to earth, one after another began to relinquish the blessed hope for the confusion that inevitably results from a failure to recognize the distinctive character of Paul's ministry and message. So let's begin with a word about God's timetable as we find it in Scripture. Now, according to 2 Corinthians 5:20, we believers are ambassadors for Christ, ambassadors indeed on enemy territory. Now, this is a remarkable thing, for remember that according to prophecy, according to Psalm 2, for example, and Psalm 110, and the record of the Scriptures, especially in the four Gospels, so-called, the nations, and even the nation, God's chosen people, joined in rejecting Christ, God's appointed ruler for this world. And for this, God says, he will speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure, Psalm 2:5. He says he'll beat them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. And in Psalm 110:1, he says to his son, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. In other words, God would and will answer this world's declaration of war with a counter-declaration of war. And this is how it generally goes among nations. When one nation declares war on another, the other makes a counter-declaration. They're kind of doing away with that lately, but formerly that's what was and should be done. But God didn't do this immediately. Rather than retaliating immediately, he waited in grace and has waited now for more than 1,900 years for rejecting this, for disciplining and judging this world for its rejection of Christ. Men still go on dancing and gambling and laughing and having revelry and fun. Nobody seems to care that Christ, the great God-appointed ruler of this world was crucified, and they said, away with him. Nobody seems to care, that is, among the unsaved. But I say, God hasn't judged yet. Saving the leader of the rebellion against Christ, the chief of sinners, 1900 years ago, he sent him forth actually as an ambassador of grace, offering salvation and peace to sinners everywhere. And we have, or certainly should, be followers in his steps, proclaiming this great message, grace be to you and peace, from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So rather than recalling his ambassadors immediately and declaring war, God has left them here on enemy territory to this very day, proclaiming grace and peace to all men everywhere through the payment of our sins by Christ at Calvary. But one day, beloved, he will recall his ambassadors. He says so. One day he will declare war on this wicked world and put down the rebellion and establish the reign of Christ on earth. Do you think for a moment that the creator of this universe is going to allow this world to be forever a scene of tears and sorrow and dying and crying and pain and misery and intrigue and hate and greed and armies marching and blood flowing? Oh, no. Christ is coming back, and this world will know what it means to be under his beneficent sway, and they'll know what it means to be his enemies, if that they have been. Now this event, the recalling of his ambassadors, the coming of Christ for us believers, is the next number on God's program, and it will bring to a close this present dispensation of grace. 1 Thessalonians 4:15-18 says, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Then, after the true church has been taken out of this world, after God has recalled his ambassadors, he will punish this world for its rejection of Christ. For the next chapter in 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, goes on to say, but of the times and seasons, that is the prophesied times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For you know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they, not we, but they, the unsaved, will say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Daniel's prophecy in Daniel 12:1 says about this time of judgment, there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. And our Lord confirmed this when he said in Matthew 24:21, then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. This will indeed be the time of God's wrath. Every believer should rejoice and be deeply grateful that the Lord will take us out of this scene before the judgment falls. And every unsaved person should thank God that it is still the dispensation of grace, and should receive Christ as Savior now, before it is eternally too late. This is why 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, behold, now is the time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And this is why Ephesians 5:15-16 says that we believers should be buying up the time, as it were, taking advantage of the opportunities and getting the blessed message of grace out to others without delay. Now, lately, many arguments are being advanced to prove that the church, the body of Christ, will go through the great tribulation before being caught up to be with the Lord. The present trend of events is, of course, causing many sincere believers to feel that this may be the case. But we place our confidence in the Word of God alone. And as we prayerfully study this subject, we're amply confirmed in our belief that the rapture of the church to heaven, or to be with Christ, will take place before the tribulation period begins, and that members of the body of Christ will thus escape the sufferings that those in the tribulation will be called upon to endure. Now, let's ask why it's so important whether Christ comes for his people before and after the tribulation. Well, the reason is because the tribulation will be the time of God's wrath. Oh, true, there'll be saints there that he will somehow help through it. But the point is that God has told us that we will not go through this time of wrath. And that's why the coming of the Lord for us is a peculiarly blessed hope. In 2 Thessalonians 2, 1-3, the apostle exhorts us by the Spirit. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, that is, someone getting up and saying, I've got a revelation from the Lord, nor by word, by rumor, or somebody says, I think so, nor by letter as from us. Some are even forging his letters in those days. But he says, don't be soon shaken in mind or troubled that the day of the Lord is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except. And then he tells us certain things that must first take place before the day of the Lord, his coming to judge and reign, takes place. Now, I don't mean to infer, of course, that any true believer, any true Bible teacher would intentionally deceive anybody. But they might do so unintentionally. And this passage warns, don't let it happen in any case. Let no man deceive you by any means, that the day of the Lord is at hand. And he does this on the basis of the Lord's coming and our gathering together unto him. Manifestly, then, the time element of the rapture is enormously important to the members of the body of Christ. And true Christian leaders have stood on scriptural ground in defending this blessed truth of a pre-tribulation rapture of the church to be with Christ. Now, it's been said that there is not a single verse which explicitly affirms that the rapture of the church will take place before the Great Tribulation. But why need there be? There's not one verse of Scripture which explicitly affirms that our Lord was baptized before his temptation by the devil, or that he was crowned with thorns before he was crucified, or that Peter was made an apostle before Paul, or that God is a Trinity. Yet there is abundant scriptural proof for all these, and we accept them as the Word of God if we are truly Bible-believing Christians. But it's interesting to know that there is a passage of Scripture which distinctly affirms that Christ will come for the members of his body before he comes to judge and to reign. Now, that's what I want to speak about in our next broadcast, God willing. Be sure to tune in next week and listen with us. Now, I do want to thank those who have been writing, and we have been receiving many letters for considerable time now about our desire to get time to write a series of commentaries on the epistles of Paul. We appreciate the letters we're getting that encourages us in this desire. We have one here from Australia. We want you to know that we're 100% in favor of your decision to write commentaries on the Pauline epistles. These are urgently needed, and we pray the Lord will give you all the health and strength, the spiritual insight and solitude and longevity required to complete the task. We want to do this, we want to get at it, and we've already started, but we haven't been given the time that we should to really give ourselves to this, and we'll appreciate your prayers about this. Now, there's just one more little excerpt I'd like to read to you here. Thank you. This is from Massachusetts. Thank you for the booklet you sent me in your free Get Acquainted package. One of these booklets in particular has changed my outlook on Christian doctrine for today. That booklet is God's Plan of Salvation Made Plain. Now, some of you have listened and perhaps been blessed by these broadcasts, some for years, but have never written to let us know. How can we know that God is blessing you? How can we be encouraged this way if you don't let us know? So do write us, especially get that free literature. And if you're a first-time writer, we send you a free Get Acquainted packet of literature. And this is what this writer from Massachusetts is talking about. A whole outlook on life changed, and this has happened with so many people, as they've come to understand and enjoy the Word of God rightly divided. So please take this to heart. Pray for us as to these commentaries on Paul's epistles. We want a great volume of prayer going up for this. And write us if you're listening and enjoying these broadcasts. And we want to take this opportunity to thank those who, some for many years, have been helping with these broadcasts. We've had to drop several broadcasts lately simply because the funds have not come in to keep them on the air. And we wouldn't want that to happen to your broadcast, so we appreciate your help, you who haven't written us yet. But especially do we thank those who have written and those who are helping us to get the message of grace out to others. And as to our literature, our books, beautiful cloth-bound books, are sold far more reasonably than you'd find them in most bookstores. And the reason is that people send in their gifts, and so these books are partly subsidized, you see. And we want you who are helping to know how very grateful we are. Now then, in connection with this message, I would like to send to you a booklet entitled Intelligent Christianity. It has to do with the inauguration, the duration, and the consummation of this present dispensation of grace. It deals with that passage or that phrase that Paul uses again and again in his epistles. I would not have you to be ignorant. Don't be an ignorant Christian, my friend. And if you're not saved, God says you're ignorant of those truths you need most to know. So trust in Christ as your Savior and begin studying. The Word of God will help you. We have literature. We'll gladly send you to get you started. Now, if you like this book, ask for your free copy of the booklet, Intelligent Christianity. Then, for those who would like to go more deeply into the Word of God, I would suggest this week Moses and Paul, the Dispensers of Law and Grace. Beloved, no apology whatever is due for obeying the written Word of God rightly divided. And it was by inspiration of God, not from pride or self-importance, that the Apostle Paul declared, I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify mine office. That's Romans 11:13. Indeed, the sad condition of the church through the greater part of this present dispensation has been directly due to her disobedience to this passage and similar passages of Scripture, and to her almost constant rebellion against the God-given authority of Paul as the apostle of the Gentiles, the nations, and the apostle of this present dispensation of grace. So here is a simple approach to rightly dividing the word of truth that should prove both refreshing and helpful to you in your study of the word. Moses and Paul, the dispensers of law and grace. It's cloth bound, gold stamped, has a lovely jacket around it. It should make a lovely gift for your friends, too. People sometimes buy them by the dozens to give to their friends, and we give them quantity discounts. But if you'd like to have this book, Moses and Paul, simply send us $2.50. That's all it costs, just $2.50. So if you'd like to have it, you write us immediately after this broadcast for the book Moses and Paul and enclose your check for $2.50. Now, one closing word to you who have not yet put your trust in Christ as your Savior. What are you waiting for? Are you waiting for God to love you? He loved you long ago, and he says in his word that he would have, it's his desire, that all men should be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. What are you waiting for? Are you waiting for Christ to die for you? He died for you 19 centuries ago. Christ died for our sins. That's what Paul said to the pagan Corinthians before they knew Christ as their Savior. And we say it to you, Christ died for our sins, yours and mine. What are you waiting for? Do you hope somehow you can make it yourself? You'll never make it. You've already sinned, and God requireth that which is past. A just judge cannot wink at your sins and just let it go. You must trust Christ as your Savior or be forever lost. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him might not perish, but have everlasting life. Trust Christ as your Savior now, and know the joy of sins forgiven.